mediocrity defined as the quality or state of being mediocre.
Well, no shit. Thanks for nothing, Merriam and or Webster.
Okay. Mediocre, of moderate or ordinary to low quality, value, ability, or performance.
Is he talking about how I golf or how you gamble?
Wait a minute. Is this an oxymoron podcast? Happy hours are always awesome. They're never mediocre. You know what? Screw it. We've done 12 f***ing takes. The missus has called my phone 7 times, which means she's hit the bottle already pretty hard. I need to get home. 3, 2, 1. You're the best. It's time for another edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour, where anything is up for grabs. Golf, gambling, football, gambling on football, Plato's influence on modern culture. Hey, that's cool. My kids love Plato. Here are your guys, Millar and JSG. Good luck, fellas.
Episode 44, Mediocre Happy Hour. What's going on?
Welcome to the Jerry West episode, the logo episode. And you are looking live to a new guest. We have a new medio here on the pod with Millar and I. Millar, do you want to make sure you introduce him correctly? He gets very upset if you not go by his correct title, but I will let you introduce our guest for today, episode 44.
I will, but at the time of this taping, his title has changed as far as I'm concerned. And I don't know even that he's a guest. He's another person here on the pod with us. But yes, we would.
You son of a bitch! You just God, throwing shade already. God.
Already, hey, welcome to Mediocre Happy Hour. That's what we do. welcome to ex-Lord Noob Dan Petrowski. You can go ahead and say what your name was and what your name currently is, but I don't think Lord's in front of it anymore. But yeah, welcome to Mediocre Happy Hour, and we'll go from there, sir.
First of all, I just want to thank Joey for having me on. Millar, you can go kiss my ass. I don't have 1x3 foot property in Abenshire, Scotland, not to be called Lord Dan of the Abenshire Scots. So, I mean, if you're going to throw that shade, I might have to invade you. That's all I'm saying. We have catapults. We have all that kind of stuff. So. But yes,
do you do the log toss and shit?
It's a little tight. A little tight. So our 3 square feet, we do have our Highland Games every so often. We have to move the sheep to the other end of the paddock to have it.
I mean, you know, the grass has to get eaten one way or the other, right? You gotta make sure that shit's taken care of.
I tell you what, Dan, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla right now, and I'm pretty sure I've invaded what is now currently your land. So if you want to know what that looks like around 800-900 AD, I can show you.
It's officially on the risk board now, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes, it's officially on the risk board. It's quite small. You can only fit one of those little things on.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many people you fit on there? Just the one.
Actually, it's a special one. It's really tall and skinny.
But you got to go there first. I mean, you got to conquer the land, right?
that's how you got to do it.
Well, you get in there. Lord Dan Abernoob of the Losers is our guest today, and
I love how Millar over time it's just been it's been like, hey, we're gonna talk about this stuff, and now his brand is like, fuck you noobs. That's pretty much it. That's just like, no, I cannot get through 8 things without being say, oh yeah, by the way, noobs, go fuck yourself, go fuck you. I enjoy it.
No,
we're
I'm too totally
nice too. We're too nice.
Him.
We're too nice too because we just gotta go. Come on. Come on, Millar. You know what?
Come on. We lost the band. Oh, my goodness.
I'll be the noob heel. I'll be the noob heel. Fuck you, Millar. One good year under your belt. One. And all of a sudden, you talk so much shit.
Wow. You might want to pump the brakes there, loser Dan of the Noob Aber Losers.
I only count 2020. That's the year. I mean, it was a wonderful year.
Everything worked out perfectly for everyone.
No low lights. Yeah, everything.
Yeah, I can't think of one thing that went wrong in 2020. It all really went to plan.
Zero. Yeah. I mean, nailed it. Yeah. It was perfect in every way, shape, and form. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to honestly miss it. Just ran down my cheek into my beard.
Well, Dan, while you compose yourself thinking of yesteryear of 2020, we do want to thank you for coming on. You know, during the off season, as we know from the last pod and the the rules that Ian went through, which Millar really enjoyed. We might run through them again.
I'm sure there's more rules. I'm sure there's more rules.
But hey, you know, you've been a coin challenge winner and you held the title, and you know, we wanted to bring you on so we can kind of walk through each coin challenge. I'm not excited to talk about the first one, frankly, but I think that's where we have to start.
The first one was amazing company, very good company, a great competition.
What was first foursome again? You know, I forget these things.
I only remember JSG and me because
that's all you need.
That's the only people that mattered.
Yeah, I believe Ian and Bob were also there as they watched and they scrawled and you know,
good if
but I must admit. I guess I'll let you talk about what it was from your perspective, but you know, mine was, I didn't feel bad about losing the coin that day because it wasn't like I played like shit. I got beat, you know. It's just like Dan showed up. It was a smooth 91, and I guess that's damn, but it, you were always in control. That was the one thing that was annoying, but also impressive.
And I'll beat Millar to the punch is that you did have strokes, because I know that be coming up like, well, he's an OG with strokes, no wonder noob kid. Yeah, I'm gonna do that thing. I'm just gonna keep getting it before you, Matt.
Dan, you get it. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, it was I do remember Bob being there. Ian, not so much. I don't remember. He was, are you sure? Was he, Bob. Bob's maybe a great guy.
He may have been in a different group, you know, who knows?
Different group. No.
No, you're a group. All right. No. Yeah, so I guess I obviously wasn't there, but I followed the Scrawl hardcore. You know, you got to hit that F5 button as much as you can.
Which is, that's crazy to me, by the way, as somebody who has had four challenges, and then being able to read the text thread later, because I don't read it while I'm playing. I don't go on my phone.
You're a fairway Bob, are you?
That's my little bubble. All right. Upstairs right now, I hear the pitter patter of way too many feet. So same. Golf is my bubble. So you know, that's where that is. But the everybody following and commenting on every hole. Yeah, if I looked at it, I would just
melt
every time. I mean, it's, you guys are ruthless.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But see, that's one of the things that I like about it. I like to know. Maybe I'm a voyeur. I like to know that other folks are watching. But I mean, it is kind of cool that we have this other entity that is a part of now MGA. But you know, from our match, like there's two things that stand out to me. But you won, so I was curious what stood out from our match.
The going one under on par threes at seed to the fourth. You know, it was an amazing day for me for par three. That's kind of what saved me in that.
And, you were net one under some par threes? Sick.
I was one under on the par threes. So you got to hang your hat, you know, yeah, on something.
And that included 16, Millar. I mean, that was one of my two moments I remember because I was still in it around then.
Motherfucker birdied 16, right?
Yeah, he birdied 16.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That might be an MGA first. I know JVP didn't do it the one time that he had the opportunity, but that might be an MGA first is birding 16.
Just
I don't know. I don't know anybody's ever done that before.
About and birdie three, just saying. And that was a long.
No, we've seen birdies on three, but birdie on 16. But I'm
16 and three.
No, never happened. But this was. This was also not an official MGA event, so it doesn't really count towards.
Oh, no, Millar.
It is cold.
You got to stop there. Just because you haven't played in a coin challenge doesn't mean it's not an official thing. So coin challenges, the pressure is real for those who hasn't played yet. But here's the other moment that I remember, and it was not for good reasons. Both of our approaches on 13 were just a fucking nightmare. Like, if I recall, let's say Dan had about 100 yards out and I had about 70 yards out and we both,
well, it's like a 200 yard hole.
Yeah. Millar, it doesn't matter how long it is. You just listen to the fucking story. We have very, very short approach shots and we both somehow blasted it about 30 to 40 yards past the green. So it was great.
It was drive. Good. Chip, no.
Bad chip. Yeah, what did we take? I think I took double and you took triple on the easiest hole on the whole fucking course.
I believe I was plus three.
Yeah, on that hole?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. And that was
That'll get you.
Almost drove the green, both of us. And then plus three. Well, on that one out. That's MGA.
Yeah.
I mean, and I birdied 16.
You can keep repeating that. But I'm saying on a 200-yard hole, you're 100 yards out. What'd you do, hit gap wedge off the tee? What are we looking at
there? Millar, it's 288, and it was 4 degrees. So you got to remember, a lot of these coin challenges recently, we're playing, it's winter. So
Fair enough.
And I could throw that out there. I think I do have the advantage in the winter golf sports category.
With girth.
I got the blubber bubble going. I've got the fur. You know, so we got all that kind of stuff going. But I do remember that. But you know what we did that was different, Millar, is that we waited for people to clear the green before we started shooting on that. we weren't assholes. I just started firing bombs. Remember, Bob was there. I think he mentioned somebody doing that to him.
Yeah, maybe two people did that. And maybe one person, you know, hit it even a little bit farther than the other person. You know, just saying. Yeah. And both birdied from what, you know, I've heard lore has said.
I don't remember that.
So nice job on the one unders on the par threes. Let's talk about 17 because that's always a hole. I know Ian will want to hear about what happened on 17 due to an unfortunate incident in the Bastards. So we're on what's the score on 17? Do either of y'all remember? Was it striking range? Were we
not really?
After the birdie on 16, you're fucked.
Yeah, right? I think I'm down four or five by then, maybe four. But it was kind of like I knew I had a chance as long as he went in the water. But as soon as he didn't go in the water, I was like, it wasn't over, but it was basically over.
Yeah, I put a 4-iron off the tee. So if that should tell you anything. Yeah. I'm not hitting driver. I'm not doing anything stupid. But once again, the Millar story of going almost in the woods on 17 is always Ian's.
No, I went in the woods.
Just and then bounced out miraculously.
A squirrel threw it out for me, and God, actually, do I want to meet that squirrel?
Actually, before I forget, I think one of the underrated things because you three putted was 15. He had an eagle putt, and not just an eagle putt. I mean, what, you had about an 18 footer for eagle?
I did. Yeah. I hit a 4-iron that rolled all the way up there. It was like one of those screamers. I believe Tiger Woods calls it a stinger.
Yeah. A stinger. You got to hit the stinger.
How to do that? I showed him how to do that. Yeah. And it rolled right up there about 18. Yeah, Joey's right. It was a few paces away. And then 3-putt.
Yeah. Attaboy. That's how we do in the MGA.
I thought that should be highlighted because that's some real MGA shit. Because that was just like
bringing that up.
That was two really good shots followed by three pretty bad ones, Dan. So welcome to the MGA.
Yeah, so, I parred. That was a par though still.
Yeah, still a par.
I think Haraga's smiling right now. Haraga's smiling. He's seen the most 3-putt pars in the history of the MGA. This has to be at least, I know he didn't see this one, but he's seen at least 5 three putt pars, which is just fantastic. It's one of my favorite things at the NGA. Just throwing that out there.
You guys have to tell me about those because I don't get them. And that wasn't a statement about how good I am at putting. It's I don't have eagle putts.
Also fair.
That and I have no idea who Steve Haraga is. He's dead to me.
that's the other thing. I was wearing the FAMU glove. I thought that would enrage Dan. It did not work.
Man,
that I remember was that on the team.
That glove sucks. I love Steve. I have a minor at FAMU. Those gloves are bullshit.
Well, hey Dan, for the sake of time, I could talk about our match a lot because it was a good match. Frankly, it was good. And frankly, you beat me.
Joey's like, shut up, Millar.
No, it's just more. You know, I know it's a school night for Dan, so I want we got three more matches to go through. Granted,
there's so many more that I have to go through, isn't there?
I'm not sure the second one will be long because that one was over pretty early, but I'll let you walk through the match with Phil.
You know, everybody needs a fluffer. You know, you really need a fluffer. You need that fluffer.
Somebody to have you ready.
If we don't want to be, yeah, if we don't want to be gross, you know, that blow off class that you had in college. You know, for Joe, maybe for my brother,
I did weightlifting in college.
Bowling at Crenshaw. Nice. Yeah,
nice. That was a good one. Yeah.
Bowling. Yeah, I did was another good one.
Yeah, we did basketball, and surprisingly, human nutrition was insanely easy. So
did you eat?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
See you next week.
I ate a triple quarter pounder with cheese from Wendy's, fries, large Coke. Is that good? No? Okay. Well, now I know it's not good. Good. All good right. to hear.
Good. I'll see you next week.
My match with Sir Phil Ouellette from the land of Wakulla was, speaking of my favorite class in Florida State of death and dying, he died very quickly.
Yeah.
I think he posted a 12 on the
I think it was 11. It was 11 on two.
11? I will point out that he went into the ditch first. Joey went into the ditch.
So, yes.
Yeah. And then he went in the ditch again.
So I think the spoiler here is, yes, you beat Phil, and that was not unexpected. Why the return and in the second, the third match, the other return to Capital City? What is Lord Dan's noob of the losers affinity with Capital City?
That's a great question from Millar. Tip of the hat. That's a great question. Yeah,
you're right. You know, sometimes they just come to me. They just come to me.
Tip of the cap and lifting up my kilt, I will tell you that I was a cart guy there. So really? I worked at Cap, myself and Alan Ball, shout out to another noob. We were cart guys there. Great story is the guy that ran it, he didn't like me too much. Kind of played around a little bit too much.
Ooh, and, hey, come on now, man.
So we had to get there very early, obviously, to put out carts.
And do your circle jerks.
So many circle jerks, but got there way too late. I think I had a very long night, very early morning of that long night, and had to be there at 6 a.m. Went out there, and my buddy, Al and I's other buddy, Jimmy Langton, was there. He was already pulling carts up, and I come pulling in my shit box car, and he comes running over to me. He's like, oh, you know, he's really pissed off. He's going to fire you. So I just walked in the old clubhouse there and just looked at him, gave the deuces sign, and said, fuck it, I quit. And I just walked right back. So I was fired from Capitals.
You can't fire me, I quit.
Can't fire me if I quit first. I expect severance.
So familiar with the course, obviously.
Yes,
then.
Yes. And it's my favorite course in Tallahassee by far.
Cheers.
By far.
Understood.
Yep. Third match was Chris Klein. One Chris Klein.
Yeah, so that was the end of the second match. Phil got his ass kicked, blah, blah, blah. And we're out of here.
I mean, a great time. That's wonderful. There was a battle for a new coin.
That's right. The pirate coin.
Pirate coin showed up between Tom Lang and our friend here, JSG. And I believe that went to...
It went to Lang. I tell you what, Lang...
Is that 2 points? 2 coins you've lost.
Yeah, it's... I'm coinless. I prefer not to have coins.
I'm unaware of the pirate coin. We're gonna have to hear this.
Millar, there isn't a lot there. Just trust me. I just want to get back to the coin stuff. I'm more of a cash cryptocurrency person. So the coins are just...
You have that one guy's password, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Easy.
So, but yeah, what was it, Dan? We found a COVID pirate. It's kind of like, you ever see Pirate of the Caribbean and they had one coin in order, like that was the coin that is keeping people alive kind of a thing. So Lang and I played for it, and Lang's playing good golf right now. So he beat me.
There he is.
Lang has the pirate coin.
He does. And I think he's just going to keep running with it as long as the Bucks continue winning the playoffs. So am I taking credit for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning these playoff games? Yes. Yes, I am. I want to be very clear about that. That's
attaboy.
I think the data checks out. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So Chris Klein, who I'll be honest, I was a little nervous. I was like, okay, this guy's game and game.
He played high school ball, dog.
Hey, he's got the jersey.
But he took 2 layovers to get to the course. So I'm assuming his back was kind of all jacked up. So I don't know. I don't know how it went, but that must have at least calmed the nerves knowing it took him so damn long to get to the course itself.
Well, you had to make a stop for for breakfast, and then you had to make a stop, you know, for a drink and to get your water, and then, you know, a stop probably on the way to pick up a sleeve of golf balls before you got to the clubhouse. So yeah, it was probably a three-stop trip.
Three layover trip for
a little bit, three layovers.
I believe he rode the bus too. So good old. Yeah, that's how he did that. He stopped at Walmart and Thomasville, stopped at, outstretched his legs. It was nice.
Had to make a transfer.
Chris Klein and I were very close. I think he fell apart 10. 10 he fell apart. So
really?
Yeah, he did one of those awesome shots where you know you're going to kill it off the tee. And you hit it about 10 feet to the left, and it just rolls a little bit and under a bush or something like that.
You're under that oak tree on the left. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And that's the other thing about Capital. You better know how to hit them stingers.
Yeah.
I know how to hit stingers, and they produce dingers. All right. So he could not hit the stinger. He could not hit that stinger. And the next thing you know, he had another shot. Now, in the meantime, I had hit a 3-wood beautifully and was just sitting there waiting patiently. Getting cold, you know, all that good stuff. But luckily the blubber bubble was in full effect and I was able to finish that. And I think I took a few strokes there, and then it was pretty much, he got in his own head, I think. And yeah. It was kind of just maintaining. A lot of 4-irons off the tees after that.
That was all she wrote, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that was the end of Chris Klein. Check him off as another victim of, you know, I notch him on my shillelagh that I have because I'm a lord, you know.
So I think I forgot to bring up on the previous match, or I'm sorry, two previous matches. Joey, with strokes, you tied and so retained the coin because you were the holder. Is that correct?
Yeah. Before I played Dan, in the Ugly Sweater Tournament, which was a blast, by the way, really well-run tournament.
I don't know. I've heard strokes.
I mean,
if you're not there, you can't tell. You can't say.
Fair.
But yeah, you're exactly correct. Joe P and I, for what it's worth, he had to give me 8 strokes because he has 13 in total. So, I mean, God bless him for even getting out of bed. But we played a match play. And I ended up, I was down 3 after 4, but I ended up all square after 18. And per rule 16B-3-17A, that goes back to the coin holder. It is the Ric Flair, you got to beat the man to be the man rule.
To be the man. Yeah, no, fair enough. All right, no, I just wanted to make that clear.
It's a valid point. It's a good point. And I don't mind reiterating the times that I actually didn't lose the coin. So that I support it.
Kyle might be like, yes, good job, Joey, on 18T, knowing what you had to do. I just wanted Kyle to understand what was going on here, you know.
Kyle, I haven't said this, but I am so happy to be here just because, as a big fan and a number 40 on the Hank Aaron edition. I mean, God, it's and the inaugurate, whatever. I'm so happy right now.
It's a good day for Dan P here.
I will say that after Joey retained the coin in the Joe versus Joe match, Joe and I had a little ceremony later that night. We came back to Jay Gaither. Both of us cut our hands. We put them together, tied them with a piece of kilt. And true Scottish tradition, I swore vengeance and vindication of my brother's defeater. And
did you hear taps playing in the background?
No taps, son. This is, you know, we got bagpipes. All right. Lots of bagpipes and, you know, just people cussing and throwing haggis. But it was a blood oath. And, you know, blood in.
Understood.
And so, vindicated him.
So, Dan, I don't know if you know this. When I was in high school, Sarasota Riverview High School, we are the Kilty Band. We wear kilts.
And yeah, I'm very familiar because I was a Seminole Warhawk. And we got our asses handed to us every year by Sarasota
Riverview. You're goddamn right you did.
There are 18 buses of players that they would bring, and there are 22 buses of band members.
That was me. And so, yeah, cheers to wearing kilts. And on the last game against Sarasota High School, no underwear under them kilts. And you do some fun things with those, you know, and especially being an awkward high school 18-year-old. I'm sure it all worked out for everybody involved.
And on the Reggie Jackson episode, that's a bad vision that you just came.
Yeah, well, enjoy that. Enjoy that.
But all yeah, right, but so back to CK.
So back to regular things here.
Chris Klein left that course. He had 14 layovers to get back home and was spouting useless Disney trivia all the way home. Just horrible Disney trivia on his layovers. And then finally, after that, the next day at noon, I got a little I'll be your Huckleberry meme from the one, the only Scott Woods.
Ooh, little Scotty action.
Now this is an a question. You guys played at Killarn. I guess why didn't you play Cap City? Because as the coin holder, you get the pick, and Scotty is a member there. I don't know if he's still a member, but I know he at least was. So why'd you end up in Killarn as opposed to Cap City or somewhere else?
Oh, he's a member. Definitely a member. That was probably my bad. Probably a mistake on my part. Probably not thinking that all the way through. I'll be honest, we played so many times at Cap, and I feel like between JSG and that other person that won't be mentioned, we maybe run out of guest fees for you guys. There was a little rumor in the pro shop there
that who wants to play Cap City?
So many. Yeah, so it's so like those rates. I mean, I was doing well with the rates, and then but yeah,
and then you weren't.
I told Joey when I told my wife there, my lovely wife Hillary of the Avondale Scots, because she's
the female new losers.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Go on,
whatever.
Hey, go on. I'm sorry,
but she definitely gave me the shoulder head spin with the little gave me the sound, and this is starting to get expensive.
Oh, you're playing golf again.
This coin thing is getting expensive. Are they paying for you? Are they paying for you? No, they're not, huh? Well, hon, they get me guests.
Honey, I'm winning. I am winning.
Then I realized that I'm Lord. And I said, God damn it, this is my castle. And I will go and play golf if I want to go and play golf.
You said no such shit, my friend.
No, that was all internally in my room. Very much internally.
So yeah. How was the match against Scotty Woods? I mean, like you said, we played at Killarn. I was F5-ing a little bit, but I was using my phone, and I have an iPhone, so I just hit refresh with my finger on the face of it. So I don't know how it works on a Droid Millar. So
you didn't have to do it through a Wi-Fi hookup thing?
No, I didn't. No, it's like, all.
I imagine Android phones, all their users have like the foil coming off of television sets.
Well,
like
you have to move it to the left in order to send a text.
Of course.
To the right to send a picture.
And don't ask about sending a GIF, Dan. It's just, it's a lot of moving parts. And it involves a kilt, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you have to wrap a piece of the kilt around the bottom. That's the nice trick. That's what you do right there.
I feel like it's like kickstarting an old Kawasaki motorcycle.
No. It's like when the battery dies and you have a manual transmission, you have to go down a hill to kickstart it. And whing! And there you go. And you're off and running. That's, you know, that's all it is.
So, yeah, bad choice on my part, I think. I don't want to sit here and be Monday morning quarterback. The score definitely shows that it was probably a bad choice to
play. Yeah, it was a bad idea. Bad idea. Part,
with my friends at Cap, you know, running out of their guest fee, I felt kind of bad. Joey has clients. He's got to entertain stuff like
that. No. I mean, sorry, if the IRS is listening, I have a ton of clients that I take out to Cap City. That's all I do is just clients.
So many clients. And so, we decided to play Killarn, which I should have took a hint because Scott was very excited about that. He said that he would get right on that, find something for us, and get that done and taken care of for us.
So the tee time was booked in 4 minutes, right?
No,
easily, yeah.
No, you played his standing tee time. Oh, yeah, 9:28. I got it. Yeah, that'll be fine. Yeah, every Saturday. I mean, this Saturday, we can play 9:28.
Yeah.
Well, not to be that guy. We played on Sunday at noon, which was very nice. As somebody who plays with Phil often, he refuses to leave Wakulla County unless it's 6 a.m. So I'm sleeping. So getting out there at noon, I got to eat an omelet and get out there. Everything was growing awesome. And then golf started.
Things were looking up.
One we did fine. Two, I was rolling. Three, Scott and I put our tee shots on that par three within about 5 to 10 feet of the hole, both of us. So, I mean, we were playing. Like, I was like, all right, this is like two heavyweights in the middle going at it. You know, I like shot for shot.
And then I want a drum roll for number four.
And then fucking number four.
Well, you won't be the first one that four got you. I mean, you won't be the first or the last MGA-er that got sunk by four.
I want to know what sadistic son of a bitch decided to go, you know what, fairway, peninsula. Let's make it a fucking peninsula. And they let's make it a Florida. Long par four.
They love Florida. They just like the shape of Florida. Yeah, they're like, you know, yeah, I'm in.
Both sides. I got you.
In the front. Don't forget the tip. Got to get the tip.
Yeah, you got to have the tip. Don't forget the tip. So
decided, you know what? Fuck it. I mean, it's a fairway. And I want to.
It is a fairway.
It is a fairway. So, took driver off the tee and put it right in the right side lake there as the Killarn Lakes, Killarn Country Club standing women's league was playing the other way. And I was like, oh God, I just killed an old lady. And but it landed in the water.
Dan, nobody in the MGA has ever hit that lake on the right side. So nope. Congrats on being the first.
There are really so many logo balls in that lake. So many MGA logo balls. Dropped. I actually walked back. I tried to play smart. I heard my brother's voice in my head. Play the course. All right. Our fuck toy lighty knows all about that. All right. Play the rule. Yeah. So I said, all right, I'm going to walk back towards the tee, find that nice spot to do the drop, put my drop down. And then speaking of Mr. Fuck Toy, my scribe for the day, Lord Dan's scribe, he called out the yardage to me. And he said, Dan, that tree right on the other side. Sorry, Lord Dan. Is only 166. He said only 166 to the other side of that tree.
How many bourbons was Fuck Toy in?
I mean, it was hole four, so at least four.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
At least. So he slowed down.
So, and you believed him.
Actually, the first thing he said wasn't, hey, wasn't, he just looked at me and go, little hungover. I saw him, pulled up to him, and our boy Fuck Toy Team Pants just went, little hungover. I'm a little hungover. So, but yes, I'm going to put all the blame for what happened on number four after my tee shot on Mr. Fucktoy, because he sits there and he says, hey, it's 166.
Doing a podcast here, woman.
My bad. I have to do push-ups now because my iWatch says, or my Apple Watch says I have to do push-ups. But yeah, he says 166. It was a challenge to my manhood. And I was like, fuck it. I can hit a 3-wood to that green. It's only 166 to get across. And then it decided to like I was back at Crenshaw Lanes bowling. It rolled right down the old peninsula fairway. Gained speed somehow. I'm a science teacher. I don't know how it happened. Definitely some top speed, top spin. I'm teaching friction to my son right now. No friction. I think it was iced over. It was definitely not cold enough for ice, but something happened. Scott probably had somebody go out there, put something down, some slick shit on that peninsula fairway, and it rolled off the tip of the dick into the water for my second one in the water. So now I'm what would I be? Drop two, lay, hit three.
Three, four, five. You're hitting four, six.
Hitting five. Hitting five.
You're hitting six.
Hitting six. Thank you for the correction. I appreciate that.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Put it off to the I'd be hitting five.
Hitting five.
Hitting five.
Drive one, drop two, hit three, drop four.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, that's my fault. That's my bad. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the goat was wrong. Go on.
Goat of 2020. Remember, it's 2020. But yeah, just hit it off to the right of the green over there. So I decided not to play. You know, a lot of people play the fairway. A lot of people try to get to the green. I decided on that hole, it's a chance. I'm going to see how good I am. And I'm not good. I'm not good, but put it off the green and then had a chip on. And of course, you know, you're thinking to yourself, there's like a downhill lie. You're thinking of all the Golf Digests that are sitting in your, the basket in your
bladed the fuck out of that. Didn't you?
Opposite. Totally just went right there in front of me.
Yep.
I mean, I was looking at every Golf Digest magazine that I could think of that I had read in my shitter. And every article and sitting there and going, okay, I know how to do this. And I just totally knocked it about 4 feet in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another shot, another putt. Long story short, eight. Nice quad on number nice quad. Four. Nice quad. And just like Phil's 11 on number two.
Number two.
Yeah. I could not recover after that. Then put up a nice seven on the next one, and then another double on the next one. And
well, there was a nice battle between you and Fucktoy for a long time, up until the back nine too. And there was some concern out there. I don't know about, you know, real concern, but I mean, you had a shot to lose to Fucktoy, who has been playing a little bit better lately. But come on, man, Fucktoy.
I mean, no disrespect, but fuck you for even comparing my game to Fucktoy. No disrespect. Now I'm saying no disrespect to Mr.
Fucktoy. Which means you're about to disrespect him.
Yeah. Now, if we count the back nine, I played better on the back nine because I started to drink more.
So let that be a lesson, kids out there. Just start drinking earlier, before the round, preferably. So I guess
hard liquor.
Speaking of who you played with, it looked like you not only got to play with Nicky Mazz, but you got to play with like Nicky Mazz circa 2017, 2018 Nicky Mazz.
When he was
like,
on fire.
He had the Popeye forearms firing. And I was very impressed. I love my Nicky Mazz. You know, you know that.
Who doesn't? You
know, anybody who cuts off sleeves with a fucking knife he's all right in my book. So, but yeah, Nicky's my boy. I texted him right away. It only took him 3 days to text me back on his flip phone. So when he's got to get those letters, he's got to go 3-3-3-3-4-4-5-5-5-5-8-8.
This is too much flip.
So, but yeah, he was firing. He was firing. So, well, the rumor is he pissed on his club. And
is that the rumor? Did this happen?
Well, I didn't watch him pee or urinate on his golf device there, Millar. But he did say that he did. And then he told a story about how he peed on it before and got a hole in one on that same par three in Killarn that we were playing at that point. And so from there out, man, I'm pissing on everything.
Woo, urinated on my rug. Fucking A.
So don't invite Dan over right now is what you're saying. It's just an all piss fest.
I'm like a tomcat right now, brother. Everything's mine in this house. Just piss everywhere.
Well, Dan, you got to play with Woods too. I mean, it seemed like Scotty was just pretty consistent and solid all day, which tends to be his MO. But I know Scotty's got some matches. He's got a coin match coming up. But so what's the scouting report on a coin match versus Scotty?
All right. First of all, Scotty Woods went to the Bob Birkin School of Golf.
Straight
and fairways every time. And the funny thing is that the score should have been probably a lot worse. He had about four putts that, no joke, were like that scene in Caddyshack where the ball is sitting on the edge of the cup, only instead of explosions, nothing happened. And so he had at least four that went for bogey or par that should have been birdie or par. And so I was really lucky going, even after the fucking peninsula hole, to be that close, even though I was probably like six shots off at that point.
So you should have lost by 23 instead of nine or whatever you lost by.
Little secret, I let him. It was getting a little expensive here.
Hillary was on your ass.
Hillary, good news. I'm not golfing for it.
I don't have the coin anymore.
Good news. We're done. I'm cleaning the garage this Saturday.
I am not trying to hold this silly coin that I have anymore.
That's until somebody calls me Friday night. That's
hey, we're playing tomorrow, right?
Yeah. So Scott Woods, consistent, and he played very well. I mean, he shot an 88. He was very consistent, very good.
That wins tournaments.
He's just, well, he's pounding crown too, by the way. So he brings those little airplane bottles.
Well, he started with three different flavors of crown what I understand. And wow, I mean, I understand pounding crown, but you go three flavors, you go back your Baskin Robbins, you know, right before the round. That's troublesome.
The last time we played together in the same group, it was an MGA, and I don't even remember which one it was, and he gave me one of those. The next thing I know, I was fighting trees, man. Those hit hard and fast, but he was yeah.
You're doing the Cyclops on the way home.
What I just making sure I don't go all the way off Bull Heedley. You
know, yeah, hey, you yeah. got it. Hey, attaboy.
But yeah, he I was very impressed. He had all the little airplane bottles. Chris Klein must have gave them to him from all the layovers.
Because Klein, he takes them while on his flights, but he's like, I'm not drinking them, so I'll just give them to Scotty.
Comedy. I brought it all the way back around. Yeah. Yeah, but Ian's given I think five. Given five, and if Scott is smart, he'd play a Klarn. If he's smart, he'll play Klarn. So you know, and keep encouraging Ian to pull the drivers out. Yeah. Keep encouraging.
I haven't seen Ian hit a driver in I don't know a year, two.
I have. It's not
great. Not great, Bob.
I'm pretty sure I'll see it next weekend. Ian and I are playing in the two-man scramble at Cap City, so I'm assuming I can hit some fairways. I think I'll get to watch Ian and the driver soon. Should be fun.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Oh, sounds great. Scramble. Oh, yeah. He'll pull out the driver to scramble.
Yeah, I got to hit the fairway first, but yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dan, you know, we still have a segment to come about Get to Know Emidio, but before we move to that, you know, anything else you want to say about your 3-1 coin run? I mean, right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty damn impressive. So.
Yeah. I mean, tip of the hat, because those are pressure packed things. You're 3-1. You got the most coin wins, at least at this point in time. What do you have to say to the future coin challengers out there?
I'll say on this Pistol Pete edition of Mediocre Happy Hour is that it was an honor. I'm glad that the coin came around. It's definitely flavored up the off season. You know, we don't just only look forward to the ugly Christmas sweater tournament now.
Yeah, I don't know who
that is. That is a major.
So it's like the players. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
The players major. I mean, hey, and you know what? I'll give Scott Woods this. He actually asked me if I wanted to play Gaither. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. I like that. I like.
So what's the Seminole Cup? If the Seminole Cup is not the players, then what's the Christmas sweater? So I'm saying Seminole Cup is kind of that's more Ryder Cup, right? All right, yeah, I'll give you that.
Could Seminole Cup be the Pebble Beach Am-Am kind of thing?
No, because we already have a Am-Am.
Oh, my bad. I fucked it up.
Jesus, Dan.
And same with the TPC for that matter. I mean, that's the four championships.
Yeah,
we do have TPC.
Yeah. So this, it's, let's see.
It'd be like the memorial.
I think it's more.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Like the Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of all the water, a lot of water at Jay Gaither.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to those back tees, man. It gets a little creepy back there.
Yeah. You mean the fairways with water, right?
Yeah. And then the weather in Tallahassee. The weather in Tallahassee in December reminds me of Hawaii most of the time. So I think that's applicable.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think so. So, but yeah, it's fun. I think it was a fun couple weeks. Thank God that I'm a school teacher. So I had some time off and I could those challenges. But yeah, I was hoping to get I was pushing Joey and Ian to give me an addendum to the rule. And call it the Lord three-peat if I did beat Scott Woods, and I would automatically get 3 week off, weekends off.
That's a good offer. Play again. That's a good offer. But that might be a good rule. If you win like three in a row, that you have different challenge rules. I agree. I'm okay with that. All right.
Addendum to the addendums. I like it.
If Ian has not shut off this podcast by now,
which he hasn't.
No, of course not. Of course not. He's waiting for us to make more fun of him again.
Hated.
Yes. So no, I'm all right with that rule addendum to the addendum. I'm in.
Okay. Done. All right. it's done. I guess we'll just have to run the paperwork up to Ian, and he'll just sign off. I'm sure.
As a lord, I just have other people do it now. I say it, they do it. Like my scribe. We'll get my fuck toy scribe on it.
And yeah, fuck toys on it.
He'll get it notarized. He's a notary.
Is he?
In my 1x3 patch of land, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Square feet,
it's with the one guy in Risk.
Mm-hmm. With the one guy and the six layovers that Chris is going to take there to get there. that Chris Klein will take to get
there. Oh, man, imagine Klein going to two-year land. It would be I already know if there's enough planes in the world to handle all those layovers.
Is it New Brunswick, Greenland, yep. Iceland?
Yes. That's
your homelands.
Yeah, yeah. We'd hit Sweden and Norway. Probably Helsinki.
Remember, going over the North Pole is quicker. So, yeah, you would
definitely. Yeah, you got to go around.
Yeah, yep. And then we probably have to go down to Amsterdam because for some reason we can't get a connect from Helsinki over to Scotland. So we'll go to Amsterdam. Amsterdam's a nice hub, good airport. And then we'll work our way back up to London Luton, not London Gatwick, London Luton. And then I think we take the train up to Scotland. And did I get that right?
Oh, so I think the one in Greenland just got an Auntie Anne's, so you can get a pretzel.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And a pretzel dog.
You gotta have a pretzel dog.
Gotta have a pretzel dog.
There's a Cinnabon, too, I heard. It's good. Ooh. It's happening.
And up there, we might even get a Tim Hortons. You know, that's love a good Tim Hortons.
I told you, 2020, best year ever.
Love it.
Look at all the changes.
All right, before we bring it on home, we're going to start a new segment called Get to Know Emidio. I think the name is pretty self-explanatory.
What are we going to do here, Joe? Are we going to get to know Emidio?
Yeah, I think we should get to know Emidio a little bit. So
Who are we going to get?
Yeah, we'll talk. Hey,
so shocker, Dan, we're bringing your brother on.
Oh, it's your brother.
Yeah.
Goddamn Joe ruins everything. Fucking everything. I had four good years until he came.
So Millar, you had that first question, so I'll let you fire the first question and then I'll kind of rapid fire the rest of them.
Let's go. Dan, obviously OGs are what they are, and you know, we'll always kind of run this joint, but what was your introduction to the MGA? How did you come aboard to the MGA? Who was your sponsor? You know, after you got out of AA, who was your sponsor coming into MGA, and how did that kind of work for you?
It all started on the plains of Tom Brown Park softball fields, and before I knew him as Fairway Bob, I nicknamed him Mixed Drink Bob, even though he never had a mixed softball game. And I just said it's a good nickname, just take it. But he basically would every so often talk about the MGA. And Joe and I, you know, my brother and I are perk up a little bit, like golf, playing golf. And he would go, no, I'm not playing golf. No, you heard me wrong. So he never officially invited us. I think he played a good 2 years. And then finally, we started playing softball again with another OG, and that would be one Matty Millar.
Yeah, you know, that team kind of ended poorly, you know, go on.
With Buddy Wallace, a new noob there. And then, and that's when we stepped in. Joe and I think joined that year when we were softball with Matt Millar. But the tinglings of it started with good old Fairway Bob. And then finally we joined. And that first year was not, I don't remember much of it.
That's what happens in the MGA.
That's how we got into it. A lot of Quincy rounds, right. I think, in the first year too.
Oh, Quincy. Oh, geez. We haven't been to Quincy in a long time.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this. We were supposed to play Quincy the weekend of Hurricane Michael, and I don't think we've been back.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I don't think so.
So, all right, Dan, question two. You've been in the Tallahassee MGA for a few years. What is your favorite moment so far? And that could be anything, global, personal, whatever. What is just your favorite TLH MGA moment for you?
I'm not kissing ass here, but Joey went at that four championship where the piccolo and the fife and drum there, and walking that up and playing in that whole round in that colonial costume. That was when I was like, yeah, I'm home. These are my people. I have a whole section of my closet designated MGA costumes. It's probably that. I wore the kilt for the first time. That was probably right, you know, just below your moment, was wearing the kilt to my first Bradish. when I wore it and standing in the pisser, and some old guy was standing next to me, and he says, "Who are you guys?" And I told him, "Well, we're MGA, we're TLH MGA, we're you know, Ham and Eggers, and we come out and play golf and have a good time and drink." And he goes, "Okay," and he just fucking washed his hands. That's how disgusted he was by my coat. That was another great. And I did. I left a business card sitting right there with that little, "Are you not good enough?" or whatever it is. Yeah. "Are you medio?" I used to leave those everywhere.
When you wore the kilt, did you know you'd be a lord within a year or two, or did that is that just a happenstance?
I mean, destiny. It's like King Arthur and the Sword and Stone. I mean, it's gonna happen. You wear a kilt enough, I'm gonna pull the haggis out of my 3 square feet, and I've got my sheep and my little castle, and we're gonna invade everybody around us. So they're on.
And your one risk guy.
We're gonna take my knight and my fuck toy scribe. We're gonna go after it. So yes, I would definitely have to say pipe and drum. There's been some good. Oh, the hurricane at Seminole when Bob, and I know this is not a visual meeting, air quoting one, the Bastards. Wasn't it the Bastards? No. Sorry, the Bradish. Remember how we didn't finish?
Oh yeah, the short tournament, the
fucking hurricane came in.
Yep.
Oh, the hurricane. Bad. Yes. Oh my god.
The hurricane was a fun moment, but drinking it off the tits of the trophy.
Oh yeah, well yeah, because we turned the top of it. We did a physics lesson because it took two shots of how to actually take a shot off the top of the jugs.
Another great. Notice all of my moments.
The non-hollow jugs.
Yeah, and it was hot. My wife doesn't listen to this podcast. Very hot waitress was helping us.
And she was a biology major.
She was, and good on her.
Yeah,
good on. She was.
Did she have to write a paper?
No, she's a biology major. I'm sure she had at least 3 or 4 lab reports to do, but she had a nice attitude about it. Unlike the server at Cap City,
Joey had her stack.
He had to write a paper.
But yeah, none of my MGA moments are actual golf.
As we do this more and more, I have a feeling that's gonna become a theme. All right, we got 2 questions left, Dan.
Sorry. I'll go quick. I'll try to go quick.
No worries. What is your favorite hole in the Tallahassee area?
It's a school night.
Hey-oh, favorite hole.
Okay. Do I have to clarify? Your favorite golf hole in the Tallahassee area.
No, Joey, he already said Hillary doesn't listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Well, that's why it's not her. Okay. So let me just stop before I get myself in trouble. Favorite golf hole.
Yes.
Tallahassee. Favorite golf hole. God, that's tough. I always tell my kids I can't do one, but I always do like Mount Rushmore's, but I'll try. Everything that's popping up is Devil's Elbow at Summerbrook, that little par 3.
Summerbrook.
It's the shittiest course, but for something, when you're standing there on that tee and you can't see any other golf course, you maybe see 1 or 2 houses, and it's all with those woods and the big ravine. I mean, it looks like it should be something special. It's not, but it looks like something special. And I think at that moment, you know, maybe it's because it's one of the last holes and you've been drinking all day and you're just like, this is beautiful. And a little tear drops. I would have to say, I guess that would be my favorite hole. Like, do I want to play it every day? No. When you're in the moment, it's there, you know, it's there. I'm going to go with that one.
All right. And then I guess on the other end of the spectrum, what is the hole in the Tallahassee area, golf hole, sorry. What is the golf hole in the Tallahassee area that you hate the most, you most despise?
It's pretty much a fucking tie with all the rest of them. Oh man, I don't like the par 3 at Southwood, that first par 3 that really fucking.
Oh, 3?
That's a bad one. Nothing bad at Capitol. I mean, they're all gorgeous. I love Cap. Killarn.
I mean, we spent a lot of time on number 4 at Killarn.
Number 4 is pretty shitty. You know, one that's always fucked me is the, not, can't hide money, Golden Eagle. Number nine coming down that hill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Always fly that green. That's a tough, for whatever reason, I fucking hate that hole. I never play it well, but it'd have to be, I think number four at Killarn definitely takes the cake, because who fucking makes a peninsula fairway? It's just stupid. It's dumb, idiotic, retarded, whatever you want to say. It's ridiculously stupid, and I hate it, and I'll always hate it, and it's no devil's elbow. That's all I have.
Fair enough.
There it is.
Well, good news, Dan. Ian's probably listening this, looking at the schedule, and we're probably playing Killarn 3-4
Yeah, so congrats.
So congratulations.
Just hit driver, Ian. Ian, you'll be fine. Hit driver off number four.
Hey, final question. Who is your favorite OG in the MGA?
Oh, the Villar question coming in hard.
All right.
We'll wait.
Favorite OG? I don't know. I mean, how many are there of you? Let's see. There's Villar. No. Ian, no. Bob, if he invited us, he would have been probably my favorite. Guest rates. Joey's in there. Stats. We're stats guys.
Yeah. Now don't forget that you got Pete, Nikki, and Bagoosh year 2020 have been officially added to the OGs.
You guys can tell yourself whatever the fuck you want with that shit. I don't know where that came from. What I mean. Once again, as my brother has pointed out time and time again, for some reason, OGs want to divide this chapter.
Well, we have.
Do you want to do it?
We have to balance the numbers. I mean, originally there were six, and now
originally there was millions of Neanderthals. Originally, Malark. They're not here anymore. Just let it go. You know who's my favorite OG now? Fuck it. KG's my favorite fucking OG.
KG. Fair.
Fair enough. Fair. I will allow it.
All right, Millar, do you want any more get to know Medio in our very first edition? Like those were the ones we kind of came up with off the cuff. And anything else you want to learn about Dan?
No, I would say what's your favorite win, but
I've had three recent wins. Yeah. Talk about those again.
Go. I mean real MGA wins, but you know. Yeah.
My one, the Christmas, the ugly sweater was a
good one. Officials, you know.
I'm still not seeing what you're trying to get at. I mean, ugly sweater, point of mediocrity. I mean, we're on the Eric Davis episode, number 44.
He went Eric Davis on
Eric
us.
Davis.
I'm trying to get them all out. I wrote them all down.
That's a nice one. I mean, Eric Davis was almost 40 for 40. He had a nice 30 mm-hmm. for 30 with the Reds. Eric
I'll give
Davis
it applause
is a
for
nice
that. That's
deep
bravo. Cut. Yeah, that's well done, sir.
Followed up with a little John Riggins.
I almost went Chuck
Foreman, but that's really Viking centric. You know, probably you folks don't remember Chuck Foreman too well.
No.
Joey, you'll appreciate that. The first thing that I looked up was the best number 44 on the Bears. There really wasn't.
Short list.
It was some Polak that now plays for the Raiders. And I can say Polak because I'm Polish. So it's not racist.
What happened to the Scottish, the one wrist guy you had?
Hey, you can be dual citizenship, man.
That's fair.
Dual citizenship, you know. I mean, on this William Floyd episode.
Oh, bar none.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Out of visual medium, but I dropped the mic for you there.
All right. Well, William Floyd. I'm going to take it on home. So
please, let's bring
coming up on the next Mediocre Happy Hour. I'm going to tell you why William Floyd was drinking whiskey at Baskin Robbins.
Hey there, Big Voice Guy here again, wrapping things up. Check back next time for another rousing edition of the Mediocre Happy Hour. Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or account of this podcast without the express written consent of the Tallahassee MGA is prohibited. Son of a bitch, you guys take this thing seriously around here, huh? Well, I'm gone.